Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Scott Cullen. You've seen my work on The Athletic and McKean's Hockey. Was at TSN.ca for years. And who are this season's top 50 NHL players? Well, find out on the Locked On NHL Podcast. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, and Rachel Donner reveal the top 50 players as voted on by our local experts across the Locked On NHL network of podcasts. Subscribe to the Locked On NHL Podcast on YouTube and turn on your notifications so that you never miss an episode. So we will continue with our offseason reports, and today we're on to the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is an interesting team, a team that has had some big success, and then recently their regular seasons have still been okay, but they've been struggling to get anything done in the playoffs. And when you've had a team that's won multiple cups, the core of that team generally... as it starts to age out, things become a lot more difficult. And I think that's probably where we're going to be with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, they may still be good enough to be a playoff team, but that we are heading into that cycle. So let's start off looking at the forwards for the Penguins. And first-line left winger looks like Jake Guentzel, who started his career scoring at a ridiculous rate in the playoffs with kind of so-so regular season production. But his past three regular seasons has 176 points in 177 games. That'll do just fine. He's excelled as a complement to Sidney Crosby on Pittsburgh's top line. Then at center, we've got Sidney Crosby. He's not the premier player in the league anymore, but he's still pretty great. Even if Crosby's lost a little bit offensively, it does seem that he's made up with it with improved defensive play. At least last season, his defensive impacts were great. One of the things is that Crosby, his defensive performance can get sort of inflated worth in the public discourse. And, you know, I blame media people for this more than anything. And it's the kind of thing that was touted when Crosby upset Phil Kessel for the Conn Smythe Trophy in the 2017 playoffs, where they talked on and on about how well Crosby was playing defensively, when it wasn't nearly as impactful as was being led on. But objectively, Sidney Crosby has become a better defender at this stage of his career, and last season was really strong. Now, coming into this season, Crosby is undergoing wrist surgery, so he's probably not going to be ready in time for the season to start. Now, judging on timelines, he may only miss a couple of weeks. And if that's the case, really, it's not going to have a huge impact, as long as when he comes back, he's back to 100% and the wrist is not a problem for him during the season. On the right side of the top line could be Brian Rust, who's a late bloomer, turned himself from kind of a lunch bucket middle six winger to a first line scorer. In 111 games over the past two seasons, he has 49 goals, 98 points. Great kind of evolution in Brian Rust's game in his late 20s, and you don't see that very often, but that has certainly helped the Penguins stay competitive, all of a sudden this winger who was a middle six guy turns out that he can be more than that. So to the second line, where we've got Jason Zucker, a five-time 20-goal scorer, and he was relatively disappointing last season and still had 9 goals in 38 games, which you prorate that over an 82-game season, and he's pretty close to 20 there as well. So, yes, the Penguins should expect more out of Jason Zucker, but the reason you would is because he's got a track record of being able to put the puck in the net. Now, at center on the second line, generally, is Evgeny Malkin, who is an elite talent, but he has missed at least a dozen games in 8 of the past 9 seasons. He also happens to be 35 going into the last year of his contract. So it sure looks like this could be the swan song for Malkin with the Penguins. And, if Pittsburgh is in contention, I imagine they keep Malkin and play right through to the end. But if the season is going sideways, there is a world in which Evgeny Malkin gets put on the trade block and, the Penguins try and extract some value because if they're not going to be contenders, you'd hate to lose Malkin for nothing. Given that he's in his mid-30s, I don't know that the Penguins are kind of inclined to give him an extension beyond And maybe they are, but you know, they bring in new management, and you might expect that that part of that deal is that they're going to be willing to cut ties with some longtime core players. On the right side of the second line could be Kasperi Kapanen, who's a speedy winger, creates a ton of chances. Now, historically, Kapanen, particularly in his time in Toronto, had trouble finishing, but last season scored on 16.2% of his shots with the Penguins, had 30 points in 40 games. That would totally be fine to get that prorated out over a full season. So Kasperi Kapanen, and he really adds kind of difference-making speed to the Penguins lineup. On the third line, we've got left winger Brock McGinn, a solid checking winger. Had some good moments with Carolina when he was bumped up in the lineup. Had chances to play with Sebastian Aho last year. But given a four-year, $11 million contract, there will be greater expectations for McGinn in Pittsburgh. At center, we've got Jeff Carter. And now, Carter's 36 years old, but he can still skate. And he did score 9 goals in 14 games for the Penguins after he was acquired from LA. The thing is, Carter's shooting percentage had basically been in the tank for 3 years with the Los Angeles Kings. And then all of a sudden, in a short sample at the end of the year with Pittsburgh, scored on 24.3% of his shots. And so I would not expect Carter to continue scoring at that rate, but at the same time, maybe he can score, you know, on a shooting percentage that's, you know, 10 or 12%, which is notably better than what he was doing in Los Angeles the past few years. So Jeff Carter, and now Carter doesn't necessarily have to play center. He might be able to slide up and play in a wing position, but certainly given that Crosby is likely to miss the start of the season, Carter may open the season down the middle. Then we've got Danton Heinen as a possibility on the third line, who's a skilled enough winger. Had a hard time in Anaheim last season, especially defensively. His numbers weren't great. But he could be a serviceable source of secondary offense. And having said that, he's also not necessarily secure in his spot in the lineup. I think he had some early success with Boston, and sort of his production has been tailing off ever since. And so if Heinen can't bounce back quickly with Pittsburgh, then he may find himself sliding right out of the lineup. To the fourth line, where we start with left winger Zach Aston-Reese, who is an excellent checking winger. Even though he plays in a limited role, he should probably get Selke votes because his defensive impacts are outstanding. And yes, you might like to see a more complete game out of Aston-Reese, like maybe score a little bit more, maybe he can earn himself more minutes. That's all a possibility. But for what he is, what we know he can be is a fourth line winger who has really great defensive impacts. You shouldn't just turn your nose up to that kind of player. Lots of teams could use a Zach Aston-Reese. At center, we've got Teddy Bluger, who is strong defensively, though not as exceptional as Zach Aston-Reese. And Bluger could very easily move up to a third-line role, especially if Carter ends up sliding to the wing at some point. But as I mentioned with Carter, at the very least, Bluger may move up the depth chart with Crosby out to start the year. Then we have Evan Rodriguez on the fourth line here. He's a fine depth forward, solid defensively, contributes a bit offensively, and he's reasonably priced. There's a lot to like, really, about Evan Rodriguez, and he kind of flies under the radar for the most part, but that works out reasonably well for Pittsburgh. Now, some others who might be in the mix up front, Sam Lafferty and Anthony Angelo have kind of been on the bubble with the Penguins, kind of a little bit of AHL time and some in the NHL. Dominic Simon, who used to play for Pittsburgh, was off to Calgary last season for a bit, returning to the Penguins organization, and has been a solid checking forward who really can't score. So if the Penguins need somebody in that defensive role, Dominic Simon can probably fill it. But then the Penguins also have Brian Boyle on a tryout coming into camp, and Boyle, veteran checking center, who's 6'7" and has had a long and successful career. Didn't play last season, but is looking to get back into it. And it would not be a shock if Boyle managed to earn himself a spot on the Penguins' fourth line. None of these guys who are sitting as extras look like they're going to have big impacts. But I suppose if you're, you know, looking for a forward who might have an impact, it would be Samuel Poulin, you know, their top prospect, that if he makes the jump to the National Hockey League, then, you know, that kind of changes the makeup of the Penguins up front. But I also don't know that that should be expected right off the start. You know, Poulin may begin his pro career in the American Hockey League, and then we'll see when he's ready for the NHL. So there's your forward group for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, there's lots of talent there still, but I think you start to worry when Crosby is 34 and Malkin's 35. You know, Father Time is undefeated, and even on great players like Crosby and Malkin, it's going to catch up to them. And add in 36-year-old Jeff Carter, and you know, you could see how things could go awry for the Penguins. So when we come back, we will look at defense and goaltending, see if there's any better outlook there. It's that time of year again. All eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today, receive a 100% welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, baseball, hockey, MMA, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Okay, so let's take a look at the blue line for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we'll start with Brian Dumoulin. Big physical presence on the Pittsburgh blue line, adds sort of a steadying influence. He can play a physical game, but he's not a huge thumper either. I mean, when you're 6'4" and can play a physical game, that is part of the package with Dumoulin, but it's not as though he's running around and hitting everything in sight either. And injuries have also kind of hit him hard in the past couple of seasons, and so that is a concern, because Pittsburgh is certainly better when they have Dumoulin there as a regular part of their top pair. On the other side of the top pair, we got Chris Letang, who's a star right shot veteran defenseman, and he'll quarterback the power play and put up a bunch of points. At the same time, Letang's defensive work can get sloppy, especially when he gets tired. And so he's had more than 40 points in 6 of the past 7 seasons. The season that he missed that threshold, 2016-2017, he had 34 points in 41 games. So you know that Chris Letang can contribute offensively, but he's another one of these Penguins who's very talented, but he's had some health issues. He's 34 years old, and so decline is probably lurking just around the corner. To the second pair, we got Marcus Pettersson. Now, Pettersson's a quality defensive blue liner. His ice time, for whatever reason, dipped nearly 3 minutes per game last season compared to the year before, and the Penguins left him exposed in the expansion draft. It sure seems, you know, by the signals being given out by the Penguins, that Marcus Pettersson would be available if a team is looking at an upgrade in their top four, and on a contract that isn't unreasonable. He's making a little over $4 million for 4 more years. So Marcus Pettersson really seems to be underappreciated right now in Pittsburgh, and so I don't know that he's necessarily going to play in their top four, but by virtue of his on-ice results, he probably should. Then there's John Marino, who has played a couple of seasons for the Penguins. He was better as a rookie than he was last year, but still he's a quality right shot, top 4D, can give you more than 20 minutes a night. And, you know, there's obviously value in that. Then on the third pair, we've got Mike Matheson, who's an okay defenseman. I think the big issue with Matheson is his contract. You know, he skates well, can move the puck, and those skills should not be taken for granted. But Matheson also has 5 more years left on a deal with a $4.875 million cap hit. You know, that's a big commitment for a guy who is, you know, maybe not playing in your top four. Now, maybe he is. We've already discussed the Marcus Pettersson situation, so, you know, maybe the Penguins do play Matheson ahead of Pettersson. But, you know, that's a big commitment given what his impacts have been in recent years. And then there are some options, I guess, for the other spot on the third pair, but it could be Pierre-Olivier Joseph, who's an intriguing prospect, played for the Penguins for 16 games last season. It appears that he's probably, if he's not ready, he's very close to ready to make the jump from the American Hockey League. And if Joseph isn't ready right away, the Penguins kind of have a few veterans, Juuso Riikola, Chad Ruweedle, available, but I don't think either one of those guys is who you want in your top six in a full-time role. Like they're totally fine as your seventh and eighth defenseman, guys who can fill in when needed, but I don't think that the Penguins are looking to get Chad Ruweedle in their top six on a full-time basis at this point. So, you know, the Penguins defense isn't great, and you know, the Matheson situation is one thing, and I think the usage of Marcus Pettersson could be better. But if they're all healthy, if you have Dumoulin healthy and Letang healthy, it's still a pretty good group. That's part of the reason that you should expect, you know, Pittsburgh not to totally fall apart. Now, if injuries start to hit this group, and you know, it's happened with Dumoulin recently, and it's happened to Letang, well, if those guys start missing significant time, well, then that's precisely how you could expect things to go awry for the Penguins this year. So let's take a look at their goaltending. And we started with Tristan Jarry, who in 72 games across the past two regular seasons, Jarry has a .915 save percentage. Well, that's pretty good. But he's really struggled. He really struggled in the playoffs last year, and had an .888 save percentage in six games. Some of the goals he let in were real disastrous type of goals that you know, break the back of your team. There's a bit of pressure here now on Jarry, because as we've noted going throughout this roster, the Penguins have a lot of aging players. They've got a lot of guys who are part of the core of Stanley Cup winners, who this might be the end or very near the end of their time with the Penguins. And if Tristan Jarry is going to be their, you know, their goaltender going into these playoffs, there's going to be some pressure on him to perform. Now, it's not as though these longtime Pittsburgh players are unfamiliar with having a goaltender who could let them down in the playoffs. That was the early reputation of Marc-Andre Fleury. But, you know, they managed to get over that eventually as well. At this point, Tristan Jarry, you know, probably needs to have a strong regular season, but it's going to be really important. If he's going to be the starter going into the playoffs, he has to be much better for the Penguins. And now backing him up is Casey DeSmith. And now DeSmith has played 70 games for the Penguins, has a .916 save percentage in those 70 games. And now could he challenge Tristan Jarry for the starting job? I suppose it's possible. But I don't know that Casey DeSmith would seem to be the answer to all your goaltending woes. This is a bit of a tough situation for the Penguins, given, you know, there's relative stability throughout the rest of their lineup, and they're bringing back the same pair, I guess, in goal. If the starter has big question mark, and that's kind of what's hanging over Tristan Jarry right now, there is at least some reason to be concerned about kind of the fate of the Penguins next season as it pertains to their goaltenders, and whether that just completely undoes, you know, what the rest of the roster might be able to accomplish. And so there we are with the Penguins roster. When we come back, we will look into their special teams prospects, and then kind of decide where we think the Penguins could be by the end of this season. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have so many delicious flavors, there should be something for everyone. And their flavors include coconut and cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Well, that is a pretty great variety of flavors, and not only do they taste great, they're also covered in 100% chocolate, so it really tastes like a good snack as opposed to a protein bar. And if you haven't tried these flavors from Built Bar, you get a mixed box. They give you two of each of those flavors, sample them, decide which ones you like, and then order more of those. Because not only are these Built Bars great tasting, they're healthy too. Built Bars are loaded with protein. They're low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. And Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So when it comes to special teams for the Pittsburgh Penguins, you look at their power play over the past three seasons. During 5-on-4 play, they are 18th in shots per 60, 51.6, so that's not great. However, in expected goals per 60, they're 8th, that's 6.7, and in actual goals per 60, they're 5th with 8.02. And I think, in general, if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, you're not terribly worried about your power play. When you roll out Letang and Malkin and Crosby and Gensel and Brian Rust, you've got guys who can put the puck in the net. And when it's guys like Crosby and Malkin, it should come as no real surprise that they generate more goals than shots. That these guys can kind of pick and choose their attack on the power play. And so, you know, for whatever concerns you might have about the Pittsburgh Penguins, I don't think the power play is a big issue for them. Now, when it comes to penalty killing, over the past three seasons, the Penguins have actually been pretty effective. When it comes to shot attempts against during 4-on-5 play, they rank 7th, 87.9 shot attempts against per 60 minutes over the past three seasons. When it comes to shots against, they're 9th, 49.5. Shots against per 60. Expected goals against, they're 7th at 5.82. And actual goals against, they're 6th, 6.05. So, by every measure, the Penguins have an above average penalty kill over the past three seasons. So, not huge need to make any changes there. Now, they've lost Brandon Tanev in the expansion draft. And I guess traded away Jared McCann, who ultimately ended up in Seattle as well. You can look at those numbers and be, you know, reasonably confident that the Penguins should have better than average penalty killing and probably better than average power play, and that can help you out if you're not necessarily dominating 5-on-5 play, and that's sometimes the case with the Penguins. That if you can count on winning the special teams battle, that helps tilt things in your direction as well. So what are the remaining needs for these Penguins? Well, I think the biggest one is goaltending, and you know, maybe Tristan Jarry just plays much better, and that changes the whole outlook. I think you can look at their forward group, and while you might quibble about one player here or there, I think in general they can be reasonably satisfied with their talent up front. When it comes to their blue line, yeah, you could probably upgrade at some point along the way, but by and large, if that group is healthy, they'll probably be okay on the blue line. And that's, as I say, that brings us to the goaltending, where Tristan Jarry has played fine for the Penguins, but last year's playoffs raised a whole lot of questions, and you don't want to pass too much judgment on the small sample of six games in a playoff series, but that is what's kind of hanging over Jarry and the Penguins coming into this season. So now, who are the prospects who might have a shot here at making a difference this year for the Penguins? And the best bet, I suppose, would be left winger Samuel Poulin, who played in the Quebec Junior League last season, had 31 points in 24 games with Sherbrooke and then Val d'Or. And maybe he starts in the American Hockey League. That's certainly possible, but it's also not unreasonable to think that Poulin, you know, might be able to force his way into the mix with the Penguins. And, you know, then that starts to shake things up. If you kind of go through their wingers and it's Gensel and Rust and Zucker and Kapanen and McGinn and Danton Heinen, well, Danton Heinen might be kind of vulnerable to losing a spot in the top nine if Samuel Poulin is ready to go right off the start. And then there's defenseman Pierre-Olivier Joseph. As I mentioned, I think Joseph should have a shot at finishing in the top six there for Pittsburgh. He had 13 points in 23 games in the American Hockey League last year, season, had 5 points in 16 games with the Penguins last season. So he has seen some NHL action and is probably ready for more. Left winger Radim Zahorna, who had 11 points in 12 games in the American Hockey League, got into 8 games with the Penguins, contributed 4 points. He's 6'6", and so add some size. I guess the question is whether he can fit in a regular role in Pittsburgh, and if not, then he probably spends the year in the American Hockey League, and maybe that's fine. You know, give him big responsibility in the American Hockey League and chance to improve. But Zahorna is, you know, maybe a bit of a dark horse as a guy who could contribute to the Penguins this season. Then there's goaltender Philip Lindbergh, signed out of UMass, where he played 15 games last year and had a .949 save percentage. Now, small sample goaltending is not a great thing to hang your hat on, and 15 games of in a college season is not nearly enough to expect huge things. But at the same time, if Lindbergh starts the season in the American Hockey League and plays really well, and the Penguins aren't sure what they have in the NHL, well, then maybe Lindbergh gets a shot this year. I think the expectation would be that he'll play in the American Hockey League for most or all of the season, and really not get pressed into the NHL unless something, an injury or what have you, opens up the opportunity. But you never know. I mean, if Lindbergh goes and plays in the AHL, maybe he struggles, and then he's not in the mix at all. But if he goes to the American Hockey League and is great, maybe that gives the Penguins another option if they're uncertain about Tristan Jarry. So one more prospect who may fit into the mix here for the Penguins at some point is winger Drew O'Connor, who had 19 points in 20 games in the American Hockey League, had 1 assist in 10 games for the Penguins. And so probably not an impact player in the National Hockey League, but he also could find his way into a spot on the fourth line. And so overall, what are the Pittsburgh Penguins? Are they a championship contender still? Playoff team? Well, from my perspective, I think they're probably a playoff team. But you can see the circumstances surrounding these Penguins, and you see that this is how the end comes for these types of contending teams. It's been a few years since the Penguins have won anything in the postseason. They aren't replenishing talent through the draft. And eventually, it catches up to just about every winning team. And as you have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang approaching their mid-30s, well, there's a chance that the Penguins could look very different by next season. And certainly if they run into problems this season, it'll be really easy for the front office of Ron Hextall and Brian Burke to make some dramatic changes. But kind of overall, looking at their roster, barring a bad case of injuries, they probably are going to be a playoff team again, because even though their star players are hitting their mid-30s, they're all still really good. So you can't ignore that part of it either. So that'll do it for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We will continue on. The Philadelphia Flyers will be coming up next. Also check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast as we head down the last few weeks of the regular season. But listen to these podcasts on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.